Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside. It is great to have you here after a whirlwind weekend of NBA and NHL, the NFL draft, baseball. We got baseball. Maybe you went to a game. Maybe you watched a couple of ball games. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. There was a lot going on. Maybe you watched NASCAR or is F1? I can't keep track. There's too much. UFL, don't you think I didn't sneak some of that in there? Oh, absolutely. Don't you think I didn't get after that? We just witnessed tonight. We'll take a look at the playoffs as we've been doing with the NHL and NBA. But we just witnessed a game so bad that even Ernie Johnson, you know, Ernie Johnson, TNT, usually lets the other guys run amok and say what they say, and he's the straight man, but he says this Cavs Heat game may have been the worst game I've ever seen. Cavs with the 138-83 victory, they sweep the Heat. Miami had 33 points at half. Cleveland had 72. It was gross. Charles Barkley says, I don't want to say quit or choke ever, but they quit. There's never been a more obvious quitting in a game like that ever. Except for maybe we'll see it tomorrow when the Milwaukee Bucks take on the Indiana Pacers. Things ain't looking good for my Bucks. Not just this series, but for a long while. And we'll have plenty to say about that tonight as well. Also, I don't know when we'll do it. I always tell you guys that sometimes there's something that I have planned, and I want to talk about it in like hour three, but I start to get itchy about it. It starts to really get itchy, and it gets like it's in my brain or it's in my chest, and I got to get it out. And tonight, that conversation is regarding Bill Belichick and this interview he did on CBS Sunday Morning. Excellent show, by the way. Part of my routine on the Sunday mornings where I do get up at a reasonable time. And it's got a lot of people questioning this relationship he's got. I've sort of danced around that because you love who you love and it's not my business. I don't care. But even this one seems a little weird. And it's only seeming weirder. Like, I don't know that this is a normal relationship sort of thing. So we'll talk about that and dance around several different possibilities at some point tonight. I'm going to try to wait on that, but we'll see. Now that I've kind of opened up the latch a little bit, I sort of just have many questions about what the hell is going on. But we'll get into that. Shedeur Sanders, folks. Shedeur Sanders. Wherever you are, if you're about to get out of your car right now, keep that seatbelt on. Drive a couple of blocks. Drive around the parking lot. Go take the next exit. Because we got to get some Shedeur Sanders talk in here. Okay? I know. There's been a lot of talk about it and him falling to the fifth round. But you know what? I think that you're engaged on it. I know I am. It certainly was the story of the 2025 NFL draft, which Green Bay, you did one hell of a job. Got to be there on Thursday. Pretty awesome stuff. Seeing everything go down, seeing the crowds, 600,000 people across the 3 days in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Unprecedented. Now, Detroit, I know that over your 3 days, you had 750,000 people. If I got to see one more Detroit Lions Pride Facebook group pop up on my feed saying how Green Bay sucks, what kind of contest? No one's having this contest. Can't we all celebrate each other? I remember when Detroit had 750,000 people there last year. I said, wow, that's really cool and great for Detroit. And then we had people on and we said, that's pretty great for Detroit. And they said, it's so good for Detroit. And we were all so happy. And then Green Bay is 600,000 and Detroit's like, ha ha, even though you have way less people and way less infrastructure, and we thought that nobody was going to be able to find where you were, what are the directions to Green Bay? Turn left at the cow? What the hell? It's in the middle of nowhere, folks. We got 600,000 people there. All right, 599,999 if I didn't go. So let's all enjoy that we all like to be in attendance to watch guys' names be read off note cards. Let's enjoy that. Let's celebrate that together. Pittsburgh's up next year with the 2026 NFL draft. I thought one of the allures for going to Green Bay was this was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But I don't know, just like Detroit's feeling pretty good about themselves, that they deserve another one, I think Green Bay has shown that maybe they could be in the regular rotation. And the NFL, man, good on them, because they've got all these cities that are trying to cut in line at each other to host Super Bowls, building new stadiums just to get that Super Bowl there. And some of these cities clearly are never going to have a Super Bowl. There will never be a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. There will never be a Super Bowl in Green Bay. But they've got this other thing that they can take around that even more people will attend. And it's an even bigger spectacle. So again, I just marvel at what Detroit was able to pull off, you know, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Chicago, what all these cities have been able to pull off to get everybody there for an NFL draft. I thought the infrastructure was great. I thought it was easy in, easy out. I thought it was very clear where people could go and hang. They did a great job. You got to go in Lambeau Field if you wanted. That was a cool part of it. I think that would have been the first time that they attached a stadium. It wasn't in the stadium, but you could go into the stadium and have that experience. So really great stuff. Kudos again to Green Bay, even though we're not Detroit. I still think they did one hell of a job. The conversation that we had on Thursday night, round one, Shedeur Sanders, where is he going to go, kind of dominated a lot of the coverage. And there's a lot of good players that got drafted that maybe did not get the TV time that they deserved. A lot of good players got Nikola Jokic Taco Bell commercialed because they'd get drafted and it was, well, why didn't this team take Shedeur Sanders, or why did they take this guy over Shedeur Sanders? But it certainly was the story of the draft. Night one, he does not go. Even with plenty of teams that need quarterbacks having the ability and the option to take them, even with a team trading back into the first round that needed a quarterback, they took the Giants, took Jackson Dart. Then you get to round two, the New Orleans Saints. All right. They need a quarterback. Derek Carr's hurt. Tyler Shuck. Then the Seahawks. The Seahawks take a quarterback. Jalen Milroe. Oh, my God. Then the Browns on day two take Dylan Gabriel. 2 days gone. No Shedeur Sanders. I coached a soccer game about 30 minutes after the draft started. And I checked my phone prior, and then I checked my phone after, and I was pretty amazed that Shedeur Sanders still had not been selected by anybody. He's still not been taken. And it was the topic of conversation with me and the fellow dads prior, after. And I know that a lot of people were talking about it. Ratings for day two were as high as they've been. This was an interesting story. Where is Shedeur going to go? And then he finally goes, middle of the afternoon on Saturday, to the Cleveland Browns. Wait, didn't you just say the Browns took a... They did! They already took a quarterback in this draft, and then they took another quarterback. Now, I thought that what was going to happen, once we got to round three, and certainly once we got to round four, was that whoever takes a quarterback isn't going to be a team that needs a quarterback. It's going to be a team that doesn't need a quarterback, that is looking at this as an investment, that wants to get this guy a good value, and then maybe flip him next year or the year after for a fourth or third or something, just to prove that we can bring Shadur in this league and everything's fine. And now that we did the dirty work, i.e. show you what it's like to have Shadur on the team and worry about all that and deal with Dion, like, now we've shown you what it's like, and so we did all the hard stuff, now give us a third round pick for our troubles. I thought that was going to be the case. And it did seem like the Eagles were ready to take him, so the Browns trade up and then take Shadur Sanders. Again, they had already taken Dylan Gabriel. Now, one of the big stories is that Shadur Sanders fell. Another big angle is who eventually took him. And I think the biggest angle was, why is this happening? Why is the guy who was projected to be the number one pick a year ago, at this time, after the draft ended last year, odds came out, it was him. And not just that, but still thought to be a first-round selection the day of the draft. If you look at the odds for next year, the number one overall pick, the best odds, 2-1 odds, Arch Manning. And then Drew Aller, and then Garrett Nussmeier. So the quarterbacks at Texas, Penn State, and LSU. Now imagine if one of those guys does not get drafted until the fifth round. Something would have to happen. Maybe an injury, maybe just a garbage year. But still, let's think about these three guys, and then when we get to next year at this time, right before the draft in Pittsburgh, they're all considered to be first-round picks, or at least someone will take them in the first round. Maybe not everyone's got a first-round grade on them, but plenty of quarterback-needy teams. Someone will take them. And then they don't go to the fifth round. It would absolutely be a massive story. Now, Sanders, being Deion Sanders' son, is a big part of this, because it is a guy that we've known for the last three decades. It's a guy who's been forward-facing in either the media or as a coach, coaching his son. It's not, you know, a LaVar Ball type of dad who just kind of comes out of nowhere. It's not another dad that, you know, it's Deion Sanders. It's Deion Sanders. It's a guy we've known for a long time. So there's a lot to it, and I think one of the big questions was, why did he fall? Why did he fall? Is there a conspiracy? Is there collusion? I don't think it could be more clear why he fell. Teams didn't want to deal with it. Teams don't want to deal with the extracurricular activity. Teams don't want to deal with having to play second fiddle to whatever it is that you've got going on. If you're going to use our vehicle, our team, as a way to boost your online presence, to boost your sponsorship deals, to boost your Q rating, whatever it may be, we want you to come here to play football. You know, there is some sort of parallel to the NFL rejecting Bill Belichick to the NFL rejecting Shadur Sanders. There is some parallel. And there's some parallel to the NFL rejecting other people that it has rejected. But in this case, it's not a political stance. It's not a social issue. It was a rejection of Shadur and Deion and the Sanders family and the approach that they had going into this process. You know, on Friday I said this was a clear rebuke that the league has decided, Shadur Sanders, we don't like you. And perhaps that's a little too harsh. But what they did not like, certainly, was the way in which the Sanders family, and specifically Shadur, I mean, this is about Shadur, he's the player that got drafted, approach this process where the interviews were bad. There was a lot of flash and circumstance that maybe didn't need to be there at the pro day. There were plenty of opportunities for him to either throw the football in front of scouts at different the combine. And there was a lot of times that he passed being backed with the party that he was going to throw. Didn't want to go to Green Bay. Had his own thing. Set up his own draft room. Spent a lot of money on all that. There was a lot of he's kind of in control, and the NFL says, we're selecting you into this league. We want to just remind you, you'll get taken. You'll get taken, but you are not bigger than the shield, okay? You're not going to come in here and just bring your cameras and bring your crew and bring whatever and use us as a content machine. There's 32 football organizations, 32 football organizations that need a quarterback. You should be able to line up with that, but we're going to do it on our terms. That's what happened. That's what happened. Is it was just, you're not comfortable with the process. Because Shedeur Sanders, he is better than some of the quarterbacks that he got drafted behind. If not all of them. I think Cam Ward, I'm kind of coming around on a nice little career for Cam Ward. I'm kind of coming around on that. And we'll see about Jackson Dart and Milroe, and, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But Shedeur Sanders is better than Dillon Gabriel, and he got drafted two rounds later than him, and they're on the same team. So we got to figure out exactly what happened there, but certainly the story of the draft, this draft will always be remembered for two things. Green Bay failing to have as many people as Detroit. Right? And Shedeur Sanders falling to the fifth round and then being selected by a team. It's not, you know, Aaron Rodgers got selected. Green Bay already had Brett Favre. Michael Penix Jr. got selected. Kirk Cousins already had, or the Atlanta Falcons already had paid Kirk Cousins. As shocking as it was that Shedeur fell, the Browns took Shedeur Sanders. They already had taken a guy in this draft. They already had the chance to draft Shedeur, said we like Dillon Gabriel better. So what happened between rounds 3 and 5? Plenty of good theories on that. We'll get into what the Browns quarterback room may look like. Talk about some of these other landing spots. And there is another story to all this. Is Shedeur Sanders' number got leaked. And not just by like some random prankster. But by the son of a current NFL defensive coordinator. So forgive me for starting the show with one of the meatiest draft stories we've had in a long time. Phone number to reach us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, on social media at either Bart Winkler or Bart Winkler Show, alongside Carlos Ortiz. I am Bart Winkler, and this, the Bart Winkler Show. It's Todd McShay. Currently with the Ringer and the host of the appropriately named McShay Show. I'm Bart Winkler on the Bart Winkler Show. Todd McShay talking about Shedeur Sanders falling in the NFL draft. We are talking about the NFL draft and this NFL draft recap brought to you by Ego. Tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Ego. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, power beyond belief. So Shedeur Sanders falling to the fifth round. And it was a fall. I know expectations were high, and we maybe shouldn't put him on these young men, but he got passed over by multiple teams multiple times. And then drafted by a team that passed over him multiple times and even took a quarterback with the pick they had in the third round. and Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon. So how does it work now? Shadur dropped. The process, you would think, would humble him. Shadur talked on Saturday and was asked if he has any regrets with all those things that Todd McShay just outlined in the pre-draft process.
Do I have any regrets? I feel like in life, it's always a way I can improve. So it's always in different areas I'm able to improve. And some things that, you know, I could have done at the time that seemed right at the time, I could have went about it a different way. And that was like more during the season and stuff like that.
Regrets are tricky because usually people do at the time what they think is right with the information that they have, or at least the view of which they view things. And Shadur thought, no matter what I do, I'm still going to be a top 10 pick, so I'm going to do it the way I'm going to do it. I think if he knew he was going to fall to day three, some of these things he might have done differently. Sure, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if I knew that saying that would get me in trouble, I wouldn't do it. If I knew that, well, I mean, a lot of people do a lot of bad things knowing that they're bad. But if I knew I wasn't going to get away with it, then I wouldn't have done it. I regret it. Not that I did it. I regret it that it didn't work out for me. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry I got caught. One of those apologies we will get to in a minute. Shadur Sanders, a member of the Cleveland Browns, as are a handful of other quarterbacks, says he's ready to do whatever Cleveland wants him to do.
Get there and handle my business. Do what I have to do. Whatever role that is, you know, I'm just thankful for opportunity, so that's all I can ask for. The rest is on me.
How do you think you're going to fit in with this team and with this organization?
I know I'm going to fit in perfectly. I feel like it's first getting in, showing the respect to the vets, showing them, you know, I'm here ready to work, show the coaches and have them understand, you know, I'm here ready to work. So they could actually understand the real me. That's what I'm truly thankful to have, is the opportunity for people to actually see the real me and not be able to see stuff that could be true or not.
So Deshaun Watson is the quarterback the Browns are paying the most money to. He will probably not be able to play at all and certainly won't start a game in the 2025 season. Shadur at some point could be starting games, but who's going to be starting week one? Because they've got Shadur, they've got Dylan Gabriel, who they also drafted in this draft, but they also have Kenny Pickett, who they traded for, and they have Joe Flacco. Deshaun Watson, let's put to the side for now. So they've got four quarterbacks that are going to show up for work, and you can only really have one under center at a time. So who's going to get the snaps? Who's going to get the reps? Well, Joe Flacco probably doesn't need a ton of reps. He's, let's just say, a veteran. And so you would look at the other three guys to get the reps, and that's the two rookies and then Kenny Pickett. Now, what the odds have, and again, we looked at the odds that said Shadur Sanders was going to be the top overall pick next year. That obviously did not work, so this is not necessarily a look into the future. But what odds makers do think is that Kenny Pickett is going to be the week one quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And then Shadur and Gabriel and Joe Flacco are all tied for second. Kenny Pickett's like 1-to-1 odds, and Shadur and Dylan and Joe are like 3-to-1 odds. I thought right away before I saw these odds that the odd man out would be Kenny Pickett. You go with Flacco, he's done well for you before. You know, knows the system, knows Stefanski. So that shouldn't be a problem. And then you bring these other two guys along and let them battle it out. Look, you drafted two rookie quarterbacks. You're not going to let one go right away. So to me, it comes down between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. And I don't think the Browns think they're going to win a lot of games to make the playoffs. Some of their trades would suggest they are building towards the future, including being able to get a number one pick next year from Jacksonville in the Travis Hunter deal. So they did technically have a shot to get Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. But Travis Hunter in Jacksonville, as you know, and Shedeur with the Cleveland Browns. So it'll be wild to see how that plays out. I know everyone's like, put him on Hard Knocks. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd like to see some of what happens. I'm sure there'll be some sort of video that we get from Shedeur's camp. But I don't know how Kenny Pickett is not the odd man out here. Unless it's Joe Flacco, but I think they're more comfortable with Joe. Are they trying to win games? I mean, everybody's trying to win games, but if you're a team, you got to come into it and think, what's best? What gets us to a championship? Is going all out and putting all your eggs in 2025? That's not going to work out for Cleveland. They're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. So what are you going to do to try to win it eventually? I think you'd let Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, get their reps, learn, experience, have a healthy, good competition with each other. With Joe Flacco being the veteran guy that's ready to step aside when you're ready for one of these guys to take the snaps under center. I just think Kenny Pickett's in the way. I was surprised that he's the favorite, unless they go with Kenny and get rid of Joe. But I think I'd rather trust Joe Flacco in that situation. Now, both Kenny and Joe are Super Bowl champs, okay? So they're both Super Bowl champs, but I don't know how that would play out. The Browns also did something else today that people are really scratching their head over. Remember Deontay Johnson's 2024 season? He was traded from the Steelers to Carolina. And then in October, so that was in March, then on October, he was traded to the Ravens. And then on December 20th, he was cut by the Ravens. And then on December 23rd, he was claimed by the Texans, played in a playoff game, and then got cut. And then the Ravens picked him back up again because they know they can get a compensatory pick out of it. So they just picked him up to let his contract run out. And then today he was signed by the Browns. So we're not sure what's all going on with Deontay Johnson, but now we're adding him to the situation. So it's just a lot of what's going on here. The pick itself is a lot of what's going on here. There was the image that went viral of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, coach and GM of the Browns, not seeming too elated that they drafted Shedeur Sanders. Speculation that Jimmy Haslam was involved. I think that if you're a GM in the fifth round, and I think Howie Roseman and the Eagles, that's why they had the trade above them, is like, okay, at some point, this can benefit us in the future as much as, you know, in the present. Sure, we'll bring this guy in, whatever. But if we're getting this talent in the fifth round, we could possibly move him for a better pick in the future. If you could draft in the fifth round, if you could just say, what would you like in this fifth round? Would you like a player? Or would you like next year's third rounder? I think a lot of people would say, just give me the third round pick next year. And that's what Shedeur Sanders was sort of turning into. So I thought it would be a more veteran team or a team that had their quarterback situation settled that ended up drafting him the further that he fell. But then the Browns took him, and they had already taken a guy. There's one theory that them taking Dylan Gabriel was as much, hey, let's bring in a rookie here, as it was Stefanski and Berry trying to outsmart Jimmy Haslam, the owner, and saying, well, if we take him, he'll see that we already took a rookie quarterback and he won't want to intervene. I like that theory. I think it's a funny theory. I think it's a plausible theory. I like it quite a bit. So there's a lot going on. This is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen, because the situation across those 3 days was like unlike anything that we've ever seen. Again, plenty of other players selected in this draft. a fun draft, an exciting draft, a lot of good stories out of this draft. A lot of undrafted free agents now finding homes and trying to make their way. 257 players selected over the 3 days. And it is one guy that stole the show the entire weekend. Much more to this, including the prank call, which should the Atlanta Falcons get in trouble for what happened? We'll talk about that a little bit more next hour. Got some Bill Belichick drama. I don't know what the hell he's doing. I really don't. At some point, like, what are you doing? I like to say the phrase, is the juice worth the squeeze a lot? Bill, there's got to be better ways to get what you want out of life than this. Just one man's suggestion, just one man's thought. That's all. 888-710-4ISN Bulletin Blitz coming up. That and much more. Right now, an update. Here's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Thrown behind, but somehow caught. And now lateral to Allen and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable.
The biggest voices in sports.
I have to look in the mirror and right now I have to be a better owner.
The heartbreak.
This team has nothing to be ashamed of. As you mentioned, yeah, they're disappointed. But they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
The celebrations.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, only on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Monday, April 28th, 2025. And Bart, we will start with a little NBA, the association, if you will, action, or lack thereof, on the part of your Milwaukee Bucks. Damian Lillard tore his Achilles. Obviously, he's going to be done for the rest of the series. Don't worry, the series is probably only one game more. Here's Giannis last night, says he has a lot of respect for Dame.
Being able to come back in game two, game three, help us win the game. But not just that, he's been so much, you know, vocal, you know, we watch film. He's pulling everybody together. I always had respect for Dame before we became teammates. But now my respect level is much higher.
We'll talk a little bit more about this next hour. I do have some things to say regarding my Milwaukee Bucks. I would also like to let people know that Doc Rivers, I feel for Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, as the head coach, sees a lot of his guys get hurt. In 2009, Kevin Garnett got hurt, knee. The next year, Perkins, ACL. The next year, Rondo, elbow. Avery Bradley the year after that. Rondo in an ACL the year after that. He's on the Clippers. No injuries, but Donald Sterling was his owner. Chris Paul the next couple of years. Blake Griffin a couple of times. Then he's with the Sixers. Embiid's hurt every year he's there. Then he's with the Bucks. Giannis and Dame get hurt. And then Dame's hurt again. So, if I'm Doc Rivers, everybody's always piling on me. But I got these teams that shouldn't get there to that third win, and then I lose the series. Give me credit for the three wins. Also, all my guys get hurt all the time. Give me a break. Should people be hard on Doc Rivers? There are plenty of reasons that you can be hard on him. But too many people treat him as a punching bag. And then because you see people treat him as a punching bag, we're like, collectively, we all pile on. I'm not saying that Doc Rivers is good or bad. What I'm saying is he is treated unfairly. Hashtag I stand with Doc.
No, you don't. All right, let's go to the NFL where the draft is completely done. Everybody's happy. Everybody's handing out A's and high letter marks. You get an A. You get an A. Maybe not you. You get a C-. All right. The Saints, they got their quarterback of the future. Maybe. But their quarterback of the present is Derek Carr. And he spoke on a sermon in Church LV. I assume the LV stands for Las Vegas. He says, hey, contrary to what some of the reports are out there, I do have a legitimate shoulder injury.
Yes, I have a shoulder injury, despite what ESPN says. And what some lady on a podcast might think. Okay, I have an MRI report to prove it. The team knows about it. We've been in constant communication. There's nothing wrong. We're figuring it out, and we're going to go forward with that. Is that okay?
I'm sorry, he spoke at a what?
At a sermon in church. He's done it a couple times. It's Church LV.
And that's where the audio's from?
Yes.
I see. So one thing that I think's funny about going to church.
I would say, don't say God.
Is
don't do it.
No. This is one of those things I can say. Because I grew up Catholic, going to Catholic churches.
Oh, my God.
And there's like that very, there's a very like church laugh, like a courtesy laugh, like a. Could you play the beginning of the clip till you hear the church courtesy laugh?
Yes, I have a shoulder injury, despite what ESPN says. And what some lady on a podcast might think.
Is this like the... It's, you don't expect to laugh at something the pastor says, and then it's like not that funny, but also it's funnier in the setting. Because you go there and you expect no humor. And even like the appearance of a joke is... I'm going to stop. Someone's going to get mad at me. I'm done. I got three Hail Marys and two Our Fathers to do, and then I'll move on, okay?
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
All right, let's move on before lightning strikes and kills all. Here's Mike Tomlin.
There's a storm here tonight, too. Maybe that's yeah, bad timing.
The storm's coming. Mike Tomlin, the Steelers, they passed on Shador, one of the thousands of teams to do so. Remember, Shador went in the fifth round. I'm sure we'll mention it at least 28 times in the rest of the show. Mike Tomlin, however, he went with Will Howard. And he explains what he loved most about him.
How he responded to that adversity at the end of their regular season and the leadership and playmaking that he displayed throughout the playoffs was really attractive. And it's really what NFL football is about. There's going to be some adversity. How you respond to it defines you and your football team, particularly from the quarterback position.
I gave you the Browns odds for starting quarterback week one. The Steelers, Skylar Thompson, plus 1,500. Will Howard, plus 800. Mason Rudolph, plus 150. Aaron Rodgers, minus 120. The favorite. Hey, who's that guy? Do we have audio of the guy who for 7 weeks now has been saying Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with Pittsburgh in the summer after all the early season, off-season drills, and then he's going to just swoop in and they're not going to get anybody else before that. Do we know who that was?
Yeah, and you can find it on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Search the Bart Winkler Show.
Yeah, and if you listen to us, could you tell your friends?
Please, we do exist.
could you just tell your friends?
For the love of God, do it now. All right, last one here.
Especially if your friend like is hosting a sports media conference 90 miles from my house.
Yeah, we won't say what the conference is, but we won't also say that it's in Chicago next month. Get your tickets if you're into that kind of thing. Here's Shador Sanders. We'll talk about this one a little bit more, but I want to play the audio as well. Yeah, sir, I don't pay for that. Shador got pranked. And again, we will get into more of the details in a little bit here, but he says the prank call did not faze him whatsoever.
It didn't really have no impact on me because it was just like, I mean, okay, like I don't feed into negativity or I don't feed into that stuff. Like, you seen on Deion Jr.'s Well Off YouTube video, my reaction to it. This is what it is. I think of course the dude was childish. I feel like it was a childish act, but everybody do childish things here and there, so.
A couple of other people got pranked too, and they're tracing the call because the guys did put out a video.
Morons.
And in that video was the son of Jeff Albrick.
Idiot.
Why do you know that name? Because that was the interim coach of the Jets last year. Now the defensive coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons. Should the Falcons be punished for this? We'll get into that a little bit. Plus, some GMs going philosophical. Some GMs going crazy. We've got a lot more draft reaction for you when we come back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.